Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear, plus my friends in the third row, and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today by Lori Lindsay, former U.S. international midfielder. We're here to chat all things weekend recap. We have a lot of games to go through. We've got NWSL action that we've got to chat a little bit about. We've got WSL action that we've got to chat about. I'm excited about that. This is going to be like our first Women's Super League recap. So I'm excited for that. We're thick in NWSL playoff push right now. So two different energies, I think, for two different leagues and different phases of their season at the moment. So we're going to take a couple deep dives in some of the games here from across the weekend. But first, thanks everybody for joining us. Quick reminder to watch all of our Attacking Third episodes, previews, recaps, interviews on YouTube. Subscribe to our page to get notified whenever we go live at youtube.com/attackingthird. Lori, thanks for being here again. Lisa's still out. She's like still enjoying her vacation, hopefully. Fingers crossed, right? That she's getting the R&R and you're back with me again. Abel, I have someone to talk soccer with again. I don't have to be on here alone and rambling into the void. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great to see you. What a weekend. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
I even shot you a text after the Aston Villa.
Oh, God. Lori and I were chatting a little bit before we hit live here, and I was ready to come on here and say, I'm pretty sure we got every single one of these picks wrong, but we ran down some of the picks, and we were like, actually, that's not totally correct. But for sure, Aston Villa and Manchester City, we'll have some fun with that when we dive into it. Let's kick things off, though, here. Let's chat a bit about NWSL, because one of the things that we were, you know, talking a bit about in the preview of this stuff, and we're going to sort of kind of have this energy through the remainder of the month, quite frankly, yeah, is like some of these matchups that when we take a look at them in the weeks ahead, they're going to have a certain amount of storylines going into them, a certain amount of energy and urgency around them, because they're going to have those like playoff push or playoff bound type of narratives around them, right? And there were a ton of those types of games taking place this weekend. So let's get into them. We're actually going to go in chronological order here. So maybe this one isn't, particularly on people's radars. Like, hey, like this was going to be one that had like massive playoff implications. But we had Racing Louisville and Orlando Pride kick things off on Friday. Louisville picking up all 3 points. Their first win since May 22nd, a 2-0 victory over Orlando Pride. Lori, when we were talking about this game, we made our picks. We went with Louisville in this one. And we said, listen, because of some of the matchups that are going on and because of some of those storylines around some of those particular matches, that maybe this was one where we were still going to get a good game, mm-hmm, but going to have a little bit different energy, because with you have Louisville side here that knows what their end game is. The end game is, hey, we're done. We're out of contention for the playoffs. We've got to build up to next season. going up against an Orlando Pride team that's kind of been knocked down a few pegs in that kind of outside looking in kind of brink of elimination scenario. So we were curious of the type of game we were going to get. But a couple good goals here. Nadim in the 10th minute, DeMelo 50th minute, all 3 points. What were some of your thoughts in this game?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that's our only correct pick. So we started the weekend off strong, and then that went wild. But no, listen, I think it's exactly right. I thought, you know, the first, like, what was it? The first couple minutes where Tim Rack, it was like kind of like the off the training ground set piece, and then Tim Rack hit the post. You know, those are the things that I think at this point in time, depending on where you are, sit like, you know, we'll talk about Kansas City, but being the last game of the weekend, but that team seems to have like some energy behind them, right? And I think sometimes it depends on like where you are in the season and how much you have going for you or not, whether or not that affects the game. And I think with the Tim Rack hitting the post, that could have changed the course of this game, obviously going up 1-0 early on. But I think it allowed Louisville to like work their way in and then started to get some control. And listen, one of the things that we said coming into this weekend in that game in particular is, are we going to see Louisville, since they don't have really anything to play for this season, are we going to see them play a little bit more freer? And I think we did. And listen, you also have Jess McDonald, you have Nadim, you have DeMelo, who scored the second goal. Those three players leading the attack, I mean, that is a great attack. And you can kind of say this for some of the other teams too. I mean, have they been playing their best soccer? Is their record showing the talent that they have? I would say probably not. Like, listen, they haven't had a lot of great results too, but I thought that was a fantastic ball from Jess McDonald.
Oh man.
I mean, and Ekic had made a run for like a little cutback ball, but actually opened up some of that space. And then to be able to pinpoint that ball across to Nadim for the tap in, I thought that was one of the best goals of the weekend, quite frankly. So
I also thought that Katie Lund had another fantastic showing in that for this team. I mean, it's not like Orlando wasn't active, right? Mm-hmm. In the final third. So having to come up with a couple big saves there, or not a couple, but several big saves there in this game for Louisville, I think sort of kept things in check for racing along the way. And I'm with you. I think that was one of the things we were also talking a little bit about. It's like when it comes to this racing Louisville side, it's like, yeah, you kind of know what your end game is here. You're not going to the playoffs. You got to build up for next year. But that we also included the coach in that. We were like, look, what is Bjorkegren going to show here to his players, to the franchise, to the supporters who have been going out to these games and showing up for racing? Like, what to look for down the line here? And I sort of felt like, hey, finally we're getting these like plethora of players all together. You know, you have your young players, you have your veteran players, your Nadim, your McDonald, your new, international acquisition in Wang Chuan. Like, get them together on the pitch, start like having them, you know, really like at the same time. And we wanted to see that. And we got to see that a bit in this game. So maybe, you know, this is the first of the last remaining couple games where we'll get to maybe see Racing put some things together down the stretch. But this one, I think, was the fun one to kind of kick off the weekend of action. And like you said, it kind of maybe was, it gave us a little bit of disillusion. We were like, oh yeah, we made a good pick here. Like, we'll be all right. let's keep it moving. We got to Washington Spirit versus New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. This one, I think we felt similarly. We were like, Spirit are like kind of got to play with a bit of sense of urgency. They're one of those teams in the bottom half of the table that need so many things to go their way. And the only real thing that they can control right now in front of them is to win. They got to win out and hope that everything else has kind of worked out in their favor around them. So for this one, 2-0 going up against Gotham, getting the win in this one. Goals from McKeown and Sanchez late in the game. Poached. Love a poacher goal in this one. Some of your thoughts on this game, Lori?
Yeah, I think this is what we expected, right? Like, I think one of the kind of storylines with the Spirit has been they have been in or better in every game, just haven't gotten the results. And so now two consecutive victories. I mean, actually, this is another good pick for us. I mean, we really did start strong.
After this.
However, so, I mean, it's a bummer because actually they are completely out now, right? They can't, I think they're
You know what I should have had up? Shout out to Jason Anderson, our colleague. He has a great piece on Pro Soccer Wire right now that has like so many of the insane kind of scenarios for every single team. There's a bunch of tiebreakers I think in play for this one.
That'll be the case for North Carolina. I think too, they need some help and stuff too. But yes, check out that piece because it is excellent. But listen, I enjoyed this game. It's what we thought. I mean, Trinity Rodman, Sanchez continue to lead the way, right? You've seen McKeon, who can score goals. I mean, this is what we thought. And I think at this point in time too, you have to keep going if you're Gotham. I mean, it's always going to be tough to try to get yourself out of this, but with like a sort of an early goal for. Well, actually, it was the 51st minute, but a dominant.
I think you're looking at a second half where the spirit just were like, okay, that's enough of that. Yeah. could tell there was a reset button that was kind of hit in halftime. That was something that I was looking at too. Or I know that in the preview we wanted to look at, we're like, hey, like this Gotham team that we're seeing down the stretch here is. Competitive, they're looking a little bit more competitive in a different way than they were maybe in months prior.
Yeah.
Like the energy's just different kind of coming into these games. Maybe the scoreline doesn't reflect that, but I think when you're looking in the timing in which these goals took place, you kind of look at and see maybe it was a little bit perhaps of a more even, you know, first half compared to the second half here for Gotham where they finally, or for the Spirit, excuse me, where they finally got the breakthrough goals here for them.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I completely agree with that. And I think we even heard like some of the players for Gotham saying now they're looking to be a spoiler, right, in this. So it's exactly what you expect. But it's unfortunate because I think this Washington Spirit team is fun and they're good, right? And I would have liked to see them, again, check out Jason Anderson's article. But,
The math is still there. The math is still there, but it's just like there's just the scenarios are just like
they're wild.
Like out of this world in order for it to happen. Like you've got like three or four other teams who need to be involved in some other having some missteps, let's say along the way. But loved the ending, the second goal here for the Spirit. Just tough break for somebody like a Michelle Betos, you know, veteran goalkeeper of this league. But you have somebody like Sanchez, you got to be better with the feet there, right? Going in those type of kind of especially late game scenarios at this point, it's 1-0 and you still kind of have that energy that anything can happen. But Sanchez just hovering and just waiting for the perfect timing and being able to have the presence of mind to stay with it and kind of slot that away, I thought was really, really good for the young player.
Yeah, I agree. One thing too, I think that maybe there's been some talk about this, but I think this Washington team is a lot deeper than it's been given credit for. I mean, they've been riddled with some injuries of some key players throughout this entire season. And again, the results haven't been there, but they have certainly been in the games or if not the better team majority of that. So it's been interesting to see some of these players like rise to the occasion, even step up, right? In different ways. And McKeon early on injured, but obviously is a goal scorer and important piece. So still without like a Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, those are big points to make.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I mean, yeah, that's a huge piece in Sullivan. I mean, particularly across their defensive line, right? Mm-hmm. Like having Sonnet, who's been in and out constantly with lingering injuries, and O'Hara
Brooks out this game.
So it's just kind of, it was like, what's this going to look like defensively for them? But shutout kind of bodes well, right? For what that means for them. We'll see where the Spirit go after this and all the wild scenarios that have to come into play for them to continue to be in contention. Another team still on the hunt, North Carolina Courage.
Yeah.
Taking on OL Reign. We talked about it in the preview. We're like, look, North Carolina Courage, one of the hottest teams right now. Going into this match, I believe they had a bit of a win streak going on. I think they had three under their belt, scoring goals. It was like, hey, like maybe this is a tough team to go up against right now. And then having OL Reign be the one to sort of snap things back into reality. Lord, I thought you made a really good point in the preview. You said like, hey, this could be a game that could maybe determine a couple of other different things in the playoff picture. Is this going to be the game that's maybe going to have some implications for outside of these two teams? Yeah. And look, it was all rain in this one. And that includes, unfortunately, all the goals. Quick start, technically, for the Courage in this one. Mm-hmm. Own goal in the 6th minute by Alana Cook. But the rain needing very little time to sort of turn things around. And look, big time players make big time plays, right? You've got Rose Lavelle and Megan Rapinoe making things happen again for this rain side. Lavelle with the equalizer in the 11th minute and Megan Rapinoe with a delicious scenario in the 26th minute to make things 2-1. And that's how this one closed out. That's all they needed.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and I thought there was like North Carolina. I thought Tillis Joyce was really good and made some big saves in goal for them. I still do slightly worry about, and I think I said this in the preview, OL Reign defensively. Yeah. They do commit so many players forward. And I think for a team that is very much like can be in consideration to win the championship, right, to at least get to the final and make their way. I mean, put themselves in a big win for them on the road. But I think, you know, when you look at this North Carolina team, you know, they did put them under pressure and there could have been some opportunities for them to go ahead at least. I mean, I think we saw early on in that game too, how exposed OL Reign is on set pieces. I mean, it was wide open for Caroline that Tillis Joyce came. So I think those are some areas that need to be cleaned up. And I think it was just exactly what we thought, North Carolina also being a little bit exposed defensively. So it kind of played out in the areas where we were like, oh, how's this going to go? Even though we did have North Carolina winning, I thought with the pressure on them to have to get the 3 points to put them in the best position playing at home with how they had been offensively, I thought they would have been a little bit more precise in front of goal. But I mean, credit to the rain. I mean, finding ways to get it done, at least getting points, right?
Yeah,
I thought Sullivan was really good though. I always think of Sullivan, but even more in this game, I think she is such an important piece and will be going forward because she's such a linker. When she gets on the ball more and she's active, then she separates players like Dabina to be able to go forward. And I thought that was pretty.
It was evident they were trying to work that out a little bit. Mm-hmm. We have that linchpin and kind of player to be able to sort of expose other spaces, you know, on the pitch. I don't think it was for lack of effort or, you know, competition, you know, maybe it was one of these games where Tullis Joyce just had another one, you know, for OL Reign, just started kind of coming up big, you know, and again, like similar to the Spirit, like looking at the Reign and maybe their defensive shape, like how they've been pushing numbers, right, in terms of the attack, but also having somebody like, you know, Luke Barnes out, like what is that going to look like for this team? But this was a little bit, it was like, hey, like, is this going to be a little bit of a sniff of the playoffs going on here in this game? And I thought it was good. I thought it was exciting in that aspect. I was quite surprised, quite frankly, to have not seen more goals in the second half.
Yeah.
But that's also not uncommon with this rain side, right? Mm-hmm. Like we see them collect their chances and unfortunately not get the finish. And it's kind of wild to me to imagine that this game was more or less wrapped up in terms of the scoreline in the first half. And again, for Carolina, again, similar to the Spirit, they're still making this push, you know, kind of on the outside looking in you know, outside of the positions of the upper half of the table. But still going to need some things to work out in front of them. And similar to most teams in their position, got to win out. And this is not one that's particularly helpful of a result, but we'll see where they land in the next week.
I'm just going to add one thing too, because I think you do make a good point about Lou Barnes being out and Jimena Lopez, obviously not new to the league and excellent left foot. But then you also have Vanderjagt, you have Stanton that made the start. So, I mean, I think that absolutely needs to be highlighted because we're seeing their depth as well, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was saying I was a little bit worried defensively, but also you're making some changes here and you're playing on the road against a really good North Carolina team, especially with some of their attackers, obviously, some of the best in the league. So that is a huge result away from home at this point in time in the season and the match that meant so much. So
no, that's a good point to bring up and make too, because you would imagine, I think anyone would imagine that this phase of the season, it's really about continuing to kind of keep your usual suspects, right, in order on the pitch. Like, you want to have your typical starting 11 continue to get as much playing time together as you're possibly heading into, you know, the phase of the playoffs. So to be able to have some of your players who are mostly considered your depth players get out here and go and continue to get, you know, these types of minutes and continue to put on these types of performances, I think bodes well, you know, especially if you're one of those upper half table teams and you have what's considered your depth players or your bench players getting massive minutes and knowing that they can essentially rise up to the occasion should you need to call their number in a potential playoff scenario. So yeah, I'm in agreement with you. That's a really good point to bring up out of this game for the rain. For Chicago Red Stars in Houston, this is where things started to turn for us a little bit, Lori, in terms of our picks. Listen, I said I can't do it. I had to manifest as much as I could for Chicago from here on out. And I said, I'm not picking against them on attack and third from here on out. And look, the 1-0 scoreline, I think for me, Lori, again, is another one of these games where it doesn't tell the whole story of some of these matches that we saw. There were a few games, right? I think you can make an argument for any of these games that, oh, it's going to be a playoff preview or it's going to have a playoff energy. But there's some particular games here that really kind of had that more than other. And I think that this was one of them for sure. 1-0, all 3 points going to Houston. The scenarios coming into this game, I mean, you had two teams level on points. They had like four tiebreakers between them. I mean, this was absolutely the type of game that you were looking at and said something has to give here. Something has to break for these two teams sitting, you know, just between each other in the standings level on points. And then now goes by way of Houston right now as they got all 3 points. 25th minute, Ebony Salmon. Massive. This goal, ridiculous. Quarterbacked by Jane Campbell. Outrageous. Give me some of your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I thought that was one of my – if that's probably my favorite goal of the weekend. Oh, I thought it was – and it makes sense because with the way Chicago set up with the three backs, that's how you can expose a three back. If you go quickly, good ball in, and then final pass into Salmon. And that is such a difficult finish. I mean, for her to be taking it and just trying to curl it around, obviously against one of the best in with Alyssa Nair too. So yeah, I thought that was a fun goal, a great goal. And I think you make a good point. This is a game that was pretty back and forth, pretty even. And you would expect that, right, between these two teams. I think they were even identical in goal differential coming in this game too. So it's like outrageous how even these two teams are. I mean, obviously opportunities for Chicago, even in the opening minutes of the second half with Rachel Hill finding some space, playing Ella Stevens. That should have been in the back of the net. That should have been the equalizer. But, you know, back and forth. And I think regardless, these two teams are in good positions, right? And this is what you need, right? I think this is what you need for these two teams at this point in time, given the season. I still kind of think, even though Houston is, I wouldn't consider them a young team, but they do have young players and they're young in terms of their exposure to the playoffs recently, right? And then you have Chicago, who we do know is young. They have some veteran players, obviously, in their spine that are so important that have been here. They're in the championship last year. We all know that. However, I think this was an important game to like figure out ways for Houston to get the win away from home at this point in time in the season, right? To get them back on track. And I think Chicago still are like, okay, listen, we've had some inconsistencies, but we've also been consistent in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And you bounce back and you find a way to get points at the next game. So I think it is in mentality wise was an important game, regardless of the result. Cause I think both teams will take something from that.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think coming out of the match week that the Red Stars had, right, kind of having the game on Friday and then going to Wednesday and then now having a game on Saturday, it was a little bit of a match heavy week for them. And I didn't necessarily see like something like, oh, the legs are getting lost underneath them. And you sort of heard things out of the post game where it didn't necessarily sound like they were, you know, entirely dejected. I mean, even coming out of that, you know, 4-0 blowout that they had against Kansas City, despite being the winners in that one, you know, Hill talking about how like, hey, like there were a ton of lessons in this game and, you know, it's important for a young team like us, because they have such so many young players, to kind of build that confidence at the right time, but still make sure that you're taking those lessons out of these games. And perhaps this was this game against Houston is another one of those types of games. But on this time, they're just on the losing end of that one. Yeah, I'm with you. One of those opportunities are going to come back and haunt you if you do find yourself in the playoffs. Really good ball in, good run, quite frankly, by Isla Stevens. I really think she's coming on pretty strong for this Red Stars team towards the final stretch here. Those are the types of moments that you're going to want to absolutely nail in a playoff scenario for real. So just sort of seeing, you know, Mal Pugh continuing her form in this one, despite not getting on the scoreboard. Again, we're watching this player excel on the pitch at an incredible time for this team, and especially in dead ball scenarios as well. Like Mal Pugh is, I'm not sure if there's a better dead ball scenario player right now, if Mal Pugh, and whether if she's not winning him or trying to serve him up. Yeah, she's been outstanding and got knocked around a little bit. The bench wasn't happy.
There's some physicality.
And you know, I think of some of the games this weekend, I think this was one of the ones that really did kind of have that playoff that playoff energy to it, because you're going to get a little physical sometimes in some of these games, you know, try to, you know, when you've got heavy hitters going up against one another. So you can't shy away from that. You know, I think once something like playoffs come around, if Chicago find themselves, you know, in another playoff, that's something that, you know, there's going to be footage on that. You know, they're going to say, hey, like, you just give the Red Stars get a little rough and tumble with them. Maybe you'll be able to go ahead and frustrate. So again, like, there's a lot of good things here, I think, coming off for both teams. And I liked this one in particular because of how even they were going into this match in the standings. But Houston said, we're coming out of here with the combo breakers. We got this one, all 3 points. Good buildup, I think, to the final game on Saturday night, right? We had that West Coast game that we were really excited about. And this one, San Diego Wave FC versus Angel City. I thought we were going to get back on track with this one, Lori. I was like, yes, San Diego came through with our picks. We said, hey, there was so much buildup for this match on the West Coast. San Diego was not going to come out here and lose this game, but I didn't know if I was going to anticipate such a narrow scoreline. And on top of that, the lone goal being the young legend, Jaden Shaw, in the 30th minute, 1-0 Angel City. Again, another one, all you needed to get all 3 points, but 3 starts for this player, 3 goals. Give me some of your takeaways from this match, Lori.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, first of all, the celebration won the weekend too. The surfers and the for the wave, but great goal by Jaden Shaw. And I think she continues to show her maturity beyond her years. I mean, it is awesome. And to do it in front of 32,000, right? I think even Allie and Jen had asked about that. What's going through your mind? They were saying that during the broadcast when they interviewed her, like, what's going through your mind at this point in time? Are you nervous? Are you having fun? And she was like, it's a combination. And it's like, this is what you love to hear, right? Yeah. And I think, I mean, we see that with Trinity Rodman. We see that with a lot of these young players that are starting to come into the league. And it's really fun to see. So what a moment for San Diego, and what a moment for Jaden Shaw. You know, long stretches of the game, though. Credit to Angel City. They continue to find their nuisance. I mean, they were quite frankly a nuisance, and credit to their entire team, because they're finding ways to put pieces and the personnel together that make them succeed. And I mean, we even saw June Indo have to drop a little bit deeper, but continue to influence the attack. I mean, I'm picturing a ball that she played into, I think it was McCaskill, kind of late into the second half, that like opened up an attack for them. And it's just like the smallest little details like that, but they're finding ways. And I thought they were the better team. I mean, you didn't even see San Diego have many chances at all, even in the second half. So, but listen, I think the storyline of this season to me is, we think, you know, MVPs is the attack, and gosh, there has been my goodness, there's been some great goals this season, and it has been wild, but the goalkeeping,
oh my god,
get out of town. Like, what is up? And Kaylin Sheridan, I mean,
read it the whole way. That's another thing, too.
It wasn't a great penalty kick, especially on McCaskill's, her ability to take, penalty kicks. But regardless, if it was, you still have to make the save, and I mean, that's a massive save. And I think that's another huge 3 points and big loss of at least 1 point.
Yeah.
however you want to say it, 2 points, right, for Angel City, because that at least would have given them a point going in.
I think too, in terms of their place in the standings right now. Yeah. I mean, we're talking weeks yeah. and weeks now. This Angel City side has just been hovering mm-hmm. at that seventh place position, and they just have been unable to sort of break through mm-hmm. and get into the mix of the upper half of the table. And every point counts, right, at mm-hmm. this point on moving forward. And the opportunity finally did come by way of a penalty kick scenario. But, I'm with you. Sheridan, one of the best in this yeah. league in terms of penalty kick situations. And just sort of reading it the entire mm-hmm. way, knowing, you know, where McCaskill was going to take it. And unfortunately, and McCaskill's and kind of, you know, shooting it in a, you know, it's kind of in a level in which it was going to possibly be savable, you know, for yeah, a goalkeeper yeah. making that leap, that type mm-hmm. of leap towards their right. I had to think about that for a second. Towards yeah. their right. I think, right, again, I said it earlier, I think in that rain game with your big time players making big yeah. time plays, right? And in this scenario, it's Sheridan mm-hmm. for the Wave, quite frankly, and massive scenes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd love to see that, a record breaking crowd of 32,000. It's Snapdragon. It was great on the broadcast, came through, everyone sounded great on the feed. Mm-hmm. So shout out to everybody who went there, including a massive wave of Angel City fans yeah. and support. That's the fun angle of that, right? When you've got the regional rivalry in place. But all 3 points for San Diego, they want to make sure they continue to stay involved in that Shield race and chase history as an expansion team.
They keep finding ways. I mean, obviously they lost last weekend to Washington, right? But they're finding ways. I mean, it's like, good on them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This one we had pegged as a draw, Lori, and I was thrilled when we got to be correct in this one, although I wasn't too sure about it. I thought at one point, okay, 0-0 is still the draw, right? But we actually got a couple goals in this one down the stretch. Kansas City Current versus Portland Thorns FC. We had to wait late in the game for this one to get some breakthrough goals. 1-1, Rocky Rodriguez for the Thorns in the 87th minute. And then you have Haley Mace in 90 plus four minutes of stoppage time, a ridiculous dead ball situation, and just delivering the Current a result. Thoughts on this one, Lori?
Well, I'm still going with the goalkeeping admiration and celebration. 80 Branch, we called it, though. That was the one thing that we did. She could easily be up there in the MVP. Absolutely. Should be, right? Like, I'm not even just saying, like, you know, goalkeeper of the year. I'm saying some of these goalkeepers have been.
Yeah, they have MVP cases, honestly.
80 Branch has been such a catalyst for this team and their success. And like, my goodness, she was awesome again. And especially with Elizabeth Ball that we talked about being out for yellow card accumulation. Yep. But this Kansas City, I think I love this game. I thought it was you have a Portland team that had a lot of rest. I like the way that they play. I think that they have, you bring in a Rocky Rodriguez off the bench. Like, I mean, we've known that throughout. Right. So we have a lot of depth. She added a lot, I think, when she came in, as a sub, obviously getting the go-ahead goal. But this is a Kansas City team that continues to have this mentality of like, we're in this and we're gonna fight to the end. It might not be the prettiest thing, but I yelled out loud when the Haley Mace goal went in. If I was in that wall, I wouldn't even have the reflection. I would have just ducked if that was coming at me. I'd be like, So
it's the situation of it. It's just a situational moment of it all. It's like, you know, stoppage at the death. It was literally at the death for this team. And God, what a time for Kansas City and for Mace specifically, right? She's been, we're talking about, you know, in players and their individual performances that have sort of, shown through and have really shined on the pitch for their teams. And while we're talking about 80 French and goal, you know, Haley Mace is one of these players where their Current are very clearly a much better team when she's on, you know, and available for them. So, you know, splitting the points between these two teams, and we had multiple shiftings in the standings, yeah. You know, throughout the weekend from Friday to Sunday. But here is where they end now ahead of next week. We've got San Diego Wave on top of the standings with 34 points. Houston Dash, number two, 33. Kansas City in third place with 33 points as well. Portland Thorns, fourth place with 32 points. And we've got OL Reign in fifth place with 31 points, Chicago Red Stars in sixth place with 30 points. And we're looking at the bottom half of the table. It's still Angel City in seventh place with 26 points. North Carolina Courage in eighth place with 25. Orlando Pride in ninth with 21. Washington Spirit in 10th with 19 points. And out of playoffs is Racing Louisville in 11. And we've got New Jersey, New York Gotham FC in 12th place. So some interesting things to take a look at and keep an eye on in the week ahead. But we've got Women's Super League action to recap for you all in this episode as well. We're going to do that, though, after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Let's chat Women's Super League. Quick reminder, you can watch NWSL games and Women's Super League games on Paramount Plus. We finally had the return of Women's Super League. There was been a pause in play by the FA due to the passing of Queen Elizabeth. So there was a postponement of the opening weekend for Women's Super League, but back to action over the course of the weekend. We had Arsenal kick things off with a massive win. A couple big winners over this weekend, and look, a couple massive upsets, which we are excited to talk about. But Arsenal defeating Brighton and Hove Albion 4-0. Manchester United also putting up 4 on Reading over the weekend. Then we had West Ham defeating Everton 1-0. Leicester City and Tottenham ending 2-1. Spurs taking all 3 points in that one. But we got to talk about a couple of these games where you could watch them exclusively on Paramount Plus if you missed them. But Aston Villa defeating Manchester City 4-3 and Liverpool upsetting Chelsea 2-1. Lori, let's talk about it. Because listen, these were the games that absolutely had me in my feelings. I was like, did we just make terrible picks? And as we went through them, we weren't so bad in NWSL, but we definitely We definitely were off a little bit on Women's Super League. Look, we were talking about Aston Villa going up against Manchester City and saying, you know, I thought maybe there was going to be a draw. You know, I thought we would see some fun competitive soccer. I thought, hey, maybe there's going to be a little bit of that, like, you know, preseason-y or game one, technically match day two kind of rust to still kick off things. And look, on paper, you look at Manchester City and they've got a pretty talented roster and down, right? But I was just kind of like, I don't know what we're going to see from Coach Gareth Taylor and what decisions we're going to see from this team. And for a second there, it looked like you were going to be right, Laura. I know you had Man City in this one.
Yeah.
But Aston Villa coming from behind. Rachel Daly leading the way, quite frankly, in this one. 4-3. What were you thinking when you saw this scoreline?
I was like, well, listen, thank you, because we love goals. And then I was also like, the soccer gods are setting us up for the Man City-Chelsea game this coming weekend. So 2-2 is a loss that we didn't expect to. However, I mean, credit to Aston Villa. Like, a couple of those goals were certainly off of their defensive play in their own attacking half that just picked off Man City. I think the one thing that was evident to me, though, is with how good Man City is, you know, what does this team look like maybe without Akira Walsh, who's going to be like setting play, right? And I think sometimes that's the risk you run when you have like so much of like these great players, attacking players, but then who's going to kind of be the one in the spine that's going to be like just like shut things down or keep the tempo moving or speed it up when necessary, slow things down. And so I'll be curious what this looks like going forward for Man City. But, I mean, obviously have, like, the ability to win these games and could have easily – well, I say easily, loosely – could have won this game, Man City, right? But Aston Villa, great energy, great first goal from Rachel Daly. I mean, just, like, almost swinging around. We've seen her do that time and time again with Houston, though. I mean, I like a Rachel Daly. I mean, I get in with England – playing right back, but I love a Rachel Daly up top. What a test. And like just take some great touches to like draw defenders in, set the players up, does a lot on her own, but it was fun to see her again. And this is a fun back and forth game, right? And I think even though I really thought Man City was going to come away, setting themselves up. So,
yeah, no, it was also like you just saw like the timing of some of these goals, right? Like it was a wild like second half, particularly right from like that early like 50th minute through the 60th minute, like back whoa, we're gonna go back and forth. And it was just kind of like, oh my goodness, like what's going on here? Massive performance, right? From Rachel Daly. Good to see that. We know that with the Lionesses, she's an outside back, but we got to the treat of watching her in NWSL as an attacker and seeing her as an attacker. And I love that when Aston Villa went ahead and made this acquisition for Rachel Daly, this transfer between them and Houston Dash, they addressed it right away. The coach was like, listen, we know where she plays for the Lions, but we want Rachel Daly to come to Aston Villa and be an attacker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keeping, you know, on brand, right? Keeping true to their word. And we got to see that come to life, you know, quite frankly, a little bit of a gaffe too, right? With that kind of game winner ultimately from Rachel Daly. We just saw her continuing her run, keeping up, following, you know, the ball and just a little bit of a dribble right inside the box. She was able to go ahead and poach and put it away in the 76th minute, but it felt end to end at one point. And you could see like the scenes out of it, right? Like just sort of the, what it meant to a franchise like Aston Villa, like going into this game again, like not only did you look at maybe the rosters and perhaps give the advantage to Manchester City with some of the talent that they have across the roster. But you look at Aston Villa, you also had something like history, right? Between these two teams that you're looking at, like having lost four of their Women's Super League matches against Manchester City. And within that, conceding 17 goals while failing to score themselves. So it's like, you sort of had these like different scenarios coming in and leading up into it, and knowing all of that, the history between it, you just absolutely saw, you know, the players, the coaching staff, like what it meant to them to sort of get this win. And it was delightful to see. But other scenes as well, maybe disappointed ones for Chelsea when we're looking at Liverpool taking on Chelsea. Look, we both went Chelsea in this one. How do you not? How do you pick against the reigning title holders, right? So you have Liverpool going up against Chelsea, and they pull off the win in this one, and they get the win 2-1. But a little bit of different scenes in this one. We're talking all penalties. All penalty kick scenarios in this game.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like if you were the betting type and you wanted to have some type of like, you know, kind of like quirky bet, and say like, you know what, every single goal in this match is going to be a PK. Listen, keep betting because you're a genius. No one had that bet. No one imagined that scenario in this game, let alone a 2-1 victory by way of the Reds. So what a way to reintroduce yourselves back into the league.
Yeah, Katie Stengel, we're talking about former Houston Dash players. Katie Stengel back in the mix, scoring the 2 penalty kicks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There was also the offside call on Sam Kerr early on in the game that, to me, was unfortunate, not offside.
Yeah.
That could have been, you know, a game changer. It would have gone up 2-0.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the interesting thing, Chelsea domination in terms of possession, you just kind of felt like there was a lack, a little bit of freshness and like sharpness to them. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the same with Man City, I'll be curious, but more so with Chelsea, I think you just get back to the training ground. You're upset with that, that loss. Right. But you learn from it and you keep going. So, but huge from Liverpool, kept in it.
Yeah, you know, to go down that early too. I mean, it wasn't just like any penalty kick. It was like you're talking the opening minute of the match, right? And you have Frank Kirby, you know, setting up to convert, and they're already leading 1-0 by the third minute of this game. But it was good to sort of see Liverpool kind of play themselves back into the game a bit. They obviously looked a little bit better in transition for me, you know, and at one point thought maybe it could have been 1-1 going into the first half there, but I guess all's well that ends well, and we've got a couple of upsets that introduced themselves to Paramount Plus audiences. I thought it was a nice way to say, hey, keep watching Women's Super League on Paramount Plus. Delightful. Glad we're able to chat all things NWSL and Women's Super League now on Attacking Third, and I'm happy to be able to do that with you too, Laura, so thanks for being here with me and making sure I have somebody to talk about soccer with. Thanks everybody for joining us today in the live. We appreciate whenever you come through and join us on our episodes. Thanks so much for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, and listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe to us on YouTube to know whenever we go live. It's official. Women's Super League is in action. It's official. Playoff push going on in NWSL. Watch all the action on Paramount Plus. Lori and I will be back on Wednesday with so much more. For Sandra Herrera and Lori Lindsay, this was Attacking Third.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.